Well, good morning again. My name is Pastor Becky. And if you've been around at all during the Lenten season, you may remember that we're in the middle of a series called The Savior Enigma. And what we're doing is we're looking at parables that Jesus told. Parables are just these stories that Jesus told throughout the Gospel of Luke. And we're treating each one of those parables as like a little puzzle piece that we're putting together week by week to get a clearer picture of who Jesus is. Is anybody else thinking, is she ever going to finish the puzzle? Right? We watch that same video every week. Will Kim Smith ever finish the puzzle? I don't know. Come on Easter and find out. No, I'm just kidding. She won't finish it on Easter. All right. So this morning, we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 18. And before we read it, it's interesting to point out that Luke, as he writes this account, tells us exactly who Jesus is speaking to in this parable. So in Luke 18, verse 9, the name of the parable is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And Luke writes, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." So there's a really specific audience here. The Message version says it this way: to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at the common people. And you might think, oh, I can't stand those people who are always looking down on others and judging them. Just remember, chances are at some point, we all have been that person. Maybe it's at a point where you've ever thought, or I have ever thought, why can't they just get their act together, whoever they might be? Or maybe we've thought or even said things like, oh, thank God I am not like them. Thank God I don't struggle with that, or thank God I'm not in that group of people. Or we might even, in a sense of like false humility, say, hey, I know I'm not perfect, but at least I don't do that. But at least I don't hang out with them. But at least I don't struggle with what they're struggling with. Or maybe we kind of flip it the other way and we list the ways, maybe to ourselves or others, list the things that we do to kind of maybe justify ourselves. Maybe we're feeling kind of bad about ourselves. And so we list the things and we say, you know, we kind of pat ourselves on the back and we say, well, you know, I read my Bible every day. Pat, pat, pat. And, you know, I pray a couple times a week, and I go to church every Sunday, pat, pat, pat. And I tithe, you know, I give 10% of what I make, pat, pat, pat. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. Those are really important spiritual practices. But I want us to think about today, do we use them to build ourselves up and to justify ourselves, or do we use them to lift God up, so that he can be glorified and we can adore him? So before we get into this parable, I want to make it clear that Jesus is not just talking to those people. He's talking to you, and he's definitely talking to me. So to those who are confident of their own righteousness, Jesus told this parable. Verse 10, here's the story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. We'll get into who those are in a minute. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you. That's a great way to start off a prayer, but it kind of goes downhill from there. God, I thank you. I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this guy over here, the tax collector. Remember, God, I fast twice a week, pat, 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 and I give a tenth of all that I get, pat, pat, pat. I'm adding a little of my own emphasis into the story. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the story. And Jesus has a couple sentences of commentary here. He says to the audience, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so Jesus directs the parable toward those who approach God in prayer with confidence in their own righteousness. We might call it self-righteousness. But the Apostle Paul has a different idea of the source of our righteousness. In his letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says, "It is because of him," talking about God, "it is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God," that is, our righteousness. He's become our holiness. He's become our redemption. And so let me make it clear that Jesus is our righteousness. It's not our good deeds. It's not our spiritual practices. Those are really important to our faith, but they are not the things by which we are justified. It is not the things that make us righteous. And so in this story, we see two different postures toward God that we're going to unpack a little bit today. First, we see in the story, two men pray. First, the Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were the most influential religious political group in New Testament times. They, as we see in Scripture, consistently opposed Jesus. There were a few exceptions, but overall, they really opposed Jesus in the early church because they didn't fit into, Jesus didn't fit into what they believed a Messiah should be. In fact, the word Pharisee means separated one. And so they separated themselves from the common folk in order to study the law and teach the law, but also separated themselves because they considered anyone outside of their group as being unclean or unworthy. The second man, as the scripture tells us, is a tax collector. So while the Pharisees were the most influential religious and political group, the tax collectors were easily the most despised. In fact, often it would say sinners and tax collectors. It was like they had a special category of their own sin. And these tax collectors were Jewish, but they were Jews who worked for the enemy. They collected taxes for the Roman Empire. They were paid by Rome, but then they often pocketed extra off the top. And so they would charge extra fees from their own people, and they would benefit from that. As you can imagine, they were despised by everyone, but especially the Pharisees. And yet the Pharisees continually gave Jesus flack for hanging out with tax collectors. In fact, he even invited one to be his follower, one of his disciples. And so in the Pharisee's prayer, we very much see his posture toward God and toward others. "God, I thank you. I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." And so two men pray, one puffs out his chest. That's his posture. We see this sometimes in nature. If an animal is trying to impress its mate or is kind of in a competition or about to start in a fight or something, feeling threatened, you kind of puff up their chest. And so that's what this Pharisee is doing, his posture. He's trying to make himself bigger. He's trying, and he does this by putting down others and looking down at others. And you know, I'm quick to criticize the Pharisee. But it's awfully tempting when we're trying to make sense of our world. There's so many complexities in our world. There's so much information that we get on a daily basis that we have to try to sort through and make sense of. Different opinions that we have to decide what's true and what's not. And in trying to find our place in it all, it is very tempting to look down on others. You know, we might even put a little bit of false humility in there, like, "Hey, I might not be where I want to be, but at least I'm not as bad as this group or as bad as this person." And maybe even we go as far as to demonize those who disagree with us. You know, if you want to see a modern-day Pharisee, what a modern-day Pharisee might sound like or speak like, just hop on Facebook during political season or a global pandemic. You can almost hear the pharisaical prayers that might sound holy at first, but really are not. Like maybe, "God, thank you. I am not one of those liberal Democrats. God, thank you. I'm not one of those stuffy conservative Republicans. God, thank you that I homeschool and don't send my children with those people's kids. God, thank you that I don't homeschool and my kids can actually get a good education at public school. God, thank you I never got vaccinated because I care what I put in my body. God, thank you I'm fully vaccinated because I care about protecting other people. Am I hitting any nerves? Well, I hope I made one sound as bad as the next, because here's my point. The problem isn't you having strong beliefs about these things. You're allowed to have strong beliefs about all of those things and anything else. There's nothing wrong with the Pharisee fasting and tithing. But the problem is that when we look down on others for thinking differently than us, and then sometimes as Christians we make it worse because we put this really thin veneer of spirituality over it, and we make it seem like God is on our side. That's what the Pharisee did in his prayer. He did it to the tax collector. And so I want to make sure that we are not basing our righteousness, we're not basing our justification, our situation before God on anything other than Jesus. And what's important is the posture we have toward God and others in prayer. And if your feathers got a little ruffled this morning, that's okay. Pay attention to that. And also know that that's often how Jesus' audiences felt. Jesus' teachings were not all puppies and rainbows. They were hard teachings. He lost followers over his teachings. He got killed because of some of those teachings. It didn't always go over well because many in his audience, as we see in the scripture, were feeling pretty good about their moral checklists. They were feeling pretty good about how they were doing, their situation before God. And by the way, we all have that inner moral checklist. We all have the things that we check to justify ourselves in this world. We all have maybe a little inner Pharisee. Maybe you could call it a Pharis me. See what I did there? That was Kevin's joke. I named my inner Pharisee. Her name is Judge Judy. Because I will admit to you, it's hard not to be judgy sometimes. You know, you see somebody and you make a quick judgment. And you're like, oh, okay, here we go again. Or whatever, I don't know. My Judge Judy sounds different than yours. But we all have that tendency. And so let's see how Jesus describes the prayer of the despised tax collector to see what we can learn. He said, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He could not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so two men pray. One puffs out his chest. One beats his chest. The tax collector acknowledges his sin. He knows how far short he has fallen from God's holy standard. His righteousness, he knows, is not enough to justify him before God, to make him right before God. And he confesses that. He confesses his need for mercy. And here's the source of today's enigma. Here's the puzzle for today. Jesus says, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, And the tax collector doesn't have the same weight that it would today. You know, if you work for the IRS, you're not, I don't think, totally despised. And so fill in the blank with whomever you might really despise. It could be an individual. It could be a group of people. But imagine if Jesus said, they went home justified and not you, churchgoer, and not you, pastor, preacher. The tax collector. That's the enigma. That's the puzzle that we have to grapple with if we're going to better understand how Jesus operates and what his message is in this world. Why? Because if we're looking at it from an outward appearance, we would absolutely think the Pharisee went home justified. He's this noble, influential man. He knows the law inside and out. He prays eloquently. He's always doing good works. He gives the tenth of whatever. And here this guy's stealing a tenth of whatever. And yet Jesus says he is the one who goes home justified. Well, we get the answer to why in the second half of verse 14. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so it comes down to the posture of prayer. The Pharisee compared himself to others and came out on top. You know, when we're feeling bad about ourselves or the need to justify ourselves, there's always going to be someone with whom we can compare ourselves that's going to make ourselves feel better. There's always somebody doing worse than we are, right? And so if we compare ourselves to them, we're like, phew, I'm doing pretty good compared to that loser, right? But before God, the Pharisee walked in guilty and he left guilty because his puffed up posture was all wrong. The tax collector, on the other hand, compared himself to God and fell short, as we all do. And when we understand God's perfect holiness and that our sin cannot get near God, it's like oil and water. Because if our sin got near God, it wouldn't be holiness anymore. And that's not the way he wanted it. That's not the way he desired for it to be. But he gave us free choice. And that's the nature of sin. It corrupts, it destroys, it brings nothing but death and separation from God. And when we understand that, that is the essence of our faith. It's what some theologians call the offense of the gospel, is that we have to get to that point where we acknowledge we are helpless to do anything about our own sin and how it separates us from God. No amount of good works, no amount of religious practices will bridge that gap. We as Christians believe it is why we need Jesus. And it is Jesus's righteousness, it is Jesus' perfectness, his holiness, the fact that he lived the human existence sinlessly. The Apostle Paul, in another letter to a different group of people, the Romans, Romans 3, 22 through 24, says it this way: this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Now that, I mean, we read that today and we're like, yeah, of course not. But that was huge. And so let's kind of try filling in the blank with terms that might mean a little bit more to us today. There is no difference between Democrat or Republican in the eyes of God. There is no difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated. There is no difference between this nation and that nation. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here's the good news. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. I hope that you will join us on Good Friday, all campuses at our McKinley campus, 7 p.m. on April 7th, as we remember and reflect on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the implications of that. I hope that you'll join us again here in East Aurora on Easter Sunday at 10:30 at the East Aurora Theater as we gather to celebrate his defeat over sin and death, making a way for us to be right with God and have eternal hope. Because no matter what's going on in this crazy world, the world has always been crazy, and it will continue to be crazy. But no matter what happens in this world, no matter what's going on in your life, we have eternal hope that we will be with Jesus forever. Our posture as we approach Good Friday and Easter is important. And our posture toward God is our responsibility. Everyone else's posture toward God is their responsibility. Now, we can help, we can encourage, we can pray, we can serve others, absolutely. But at the end of the day, their posture toward God is their decision. And so for right now, I want you to reflect on your own posture toward God recently. When's the last time you asked God for mercy? And if you are a believer, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ as God's son, you are justified. And justified is a legal term. It means you're not guilty. It's just as if I'd never sinned. But don't let the years go by, if you're a believer, to cultivate a self-righteous complacency. but rather cultivate a humility that recognizes you don't justify yourself. There's nothing you do that justifies you into a right relationship with God. It is Jesus' actions on the cross. And so use that to cultivate a humility that it's not low self-esteem. It's just knowing what your value is based on. It's based on Christ, that we are clothed with Christ. And that will produce a grace and a patience for you to have with others, because that's the same grace and patience that God showed you through Jesus and that we are called to demonstrate to others. My second question is, to whom have you been comparing yourself? Maybe like the Pharisee, you've been comparing yourself to others who obviously aren't doing as well as you are to make yourself feel better. Maybe you're feeling a little insecure about your place in life or your position with God or whatever it might be. And so it's tempting to compare ourselves to others, even in prayer. And maybe pride or self-righteousness has kind of snuck its way back in. I think it's the sneakiest sin, because we can be humble and then it can turn really quickly into a sense of self-righteousness. It sneaks up on all of us. And if that's you this morning, well, let's repent. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Others of you, however, might feel more like the tax collector. Overwhelmed with guilt. You know your sin. You know how far short you fall of God's standards. You're comparing yourself to God's standard, and well, none of us come out on top in that comparison. Maybe you even barely made it out of bed this morning. You barely made it to church. I want you to be encouraged, because you stand on the righteousness of God. You stand on Jesus' righteousness right along with each and every person here. And you too can say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and walk away justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Our sins may be different than somebody else's, but they all have one common element. They separate us from God. But as that Romans passage says, we've all sinned, but we are all justified freely by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to move into a time of communion together. And Marshall is going to come back up here and just quietly play some guitar. And I'm going to pray for us, but I want to, after I pray, just give you some silent moments of reflection. And just be asking yourself, when was the last time I asked God for mercy? And who have I been comparing myself to recently? Have I been subject to self-righteousness and pride or anything else? Just confess, ask God for mercy, repent, which just means to turn from your sin, and guess what? God will provide it for you. Before I pray, I just want to read that scripture that I started out our time with this morning once more, Psalm 51. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Lord, you are here with us this morning. You are here through the power of your word. You are here in spirit, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is here with us. May, as it prompts us of things that maybe we're not even conscious of, that are sins, may we respond with a broken and contrite heart. May we respond with humility, recognizing once again, we are justified by no one and nothing but you, Jesus. May your spirit bring conviction, and may that conviction bring life and the strength to walk away, to repent from our sinful ways. In Jesus' name, amen.